and let him take the beating. Oh, hallelujah. You need to find that hiding place. You need, you see, when I'm out here in the world and I'm taking a beating, I mean, I'm taking the royal beatdown. And emotionally, I'm being drained. Spiritually, I'm being drained. Physically, I'm being drained. And the attacks are coming against me. I need to slip away to my place of refuge. I need to slip away to my En Gedi. And I need to get alone and let God protect me and let God love me and let God nurture me and let God take the blows that are coming against me.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of En Gedi, An Oasis in the Wilderness. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of En Gedi, An Oasis in the Wilderness.
Meditate on a verse. And God will restore me and refresh me in those times. So I recommend those four books at your time and during your time of En Gedi. En Gedi is a refuge in the desert. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. And we see in this particular passage here that Saul is jealous because the number one song on the charts at that time was Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And so that was the song on the chart. And Saul didn't like that being the number one song because it didn't put him in the top dog position. And so Saul got mad at David. And one day when David was playing his harp, Saul took a javelin and threw it at David. And somehow it missed him, and then David fled into the wilderness. And as David fled into the wilderness, look what it says here in verse 26. And Saul went on the side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men were compassing David and his men round about to take them. And even if we back up for 1 second, back up to the preceding verse, Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down to a rock and abode in the wilderness at Maon. And Saul heard that he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. So David is in the wilderness running from Saul. And look at verse 29. And David went up from there. Went up from where? Went up from the wilderness. Went up from Maon and dwelt at the strongholds of En Gedi. David, in order to get away from his pursuers, David, in order to get away from his tormentors, from those who were after him, David found refuge in En Gedi. And for David, En Gedi not only became this place where this fountain was, but En Gedi became this place of refuge. It became this place where he could hide. I had an uncle. My uncle's name was Uncle Jackie. He went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. But I remember every time I used to see Uncle Jackie, and I would ask Uncle Jackie, how you doing? He would always say this, I'm taking a beating. I'm taking a beating. Sometimes I just wanted to tell Uncle Jackie, look, you need to find refuge in God and let him take the beating. Oh, hallelujah. You need to find that hiding place. You need, you see, when I'm out here in the world and I'm taking a beating, I mean, I'm taking the royal beatdown. And emotionally, I'm being drained. Spiritually, I'm being drained. Physically, I'm being drained. And the attacks are coming against me. I need to slip away to my place of refuge. I need to slip away to my En Gedi. And I need to get alone and let God protect me and let God love me and let God nurture me and let God take the blows that are coming against me. I need to find that place called En Gedi. But see, many of us, when we are being attacked, the one thing that we want to do, we want to roll up our sleeves and we want to start to fight back. And we should realize that the first thing that we need to do, that if I'm in a situation where I'm being criticized, I'm in a situation that I'm being put down, I'm in a situation where I'm being ridiculed, that my natural tendency is to want to strike back, but I might be sitting there and somewhere in deep down in my soul, somewhere deep down in my spirit, I need to go to my Engedi. And you know what? I might not get up. I might not move from the spot that I'm on. I might just be sitting there. And somebody might say, well, what's he doing? And nobody else will know what he's doing. But I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to. I'm going to Engedi. I'm going to Engedi. I'm resorting to that place where even though you're attacking me, I'm resorting to that place where I can find refuge and protection. Look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 61, verses 2 and 3. From the earth, from the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower. From the enemy. Where do I go when the storms of life are raging? Who do I turn to when there's no foundation stable? Who do I go to when the storms of life are raging? I go to the rock. I know he is able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. When all the earth around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock. David went to Engedi. He went to his place of refuge. He went to his place of protection. We see that not only is Engedi a place of refuge, but we look on and we see that Engedi is a place of refocusing. It's a place of refocusing. See, when you're out there in the desert sometimes, you know what's in the desert? In the desert, there are bones. And what do those bones in the desert represent? They represent something that was once alive. They represent something that has now died. You might see the head of a camel out there. You may see the bones of a goat out there. You see all these bones in the desert. And why is that? Because the desert has consumed them and the desert has eaten them up. And as I walk through the desert, I see bones of dead animals, maybe even dead people. As I walk through the desert, I see sand, mile after mile after mile of sand. And if I'm not careful, I can walk through the desert and sometimes I may even see a mirage. I may see something that I think is real, but actually it's a mirage. And what happens as I go through my desert experiences, my life becomes unfocused, that these situations begin to overwhelm me, and I look at these situations, and sometimes they seem insurmountable, and sometimes they seem overwhelming, and my focus is lost in the desert. My focus is lost in the wilderness, and I need to go to Engedi, because Engedi is a place where I can refocus. In Psalm 73, if you would turn there with me, Psalm 73. The psalmist had lost his focus. He was in a desert place. He was overwhelmed by his circumstances. In Psalm 73 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such are of a clean heart." He said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had almost slipped." What's he saying? I lost my focus. I lost my focus. He said, why? How did he lose his focus? He said in verse 3, "For I was envious of the foolish when I saw their prosperity." He said, instead of me having my focus right, I was in the wilderness and I was looking at the wrong things. I saw wicked people prospering and I began to get jealous of wicked folk. But then something happens down in verses 16 and 17. There's a transformation that took place. He left his wilderness. He left his desert, and he came to his Engedi. He says in verse 16, "When I thought about these things, when I was in the desert, it was too painful for me." And in verse 17, he said, "Until I went in the sanctuary of God, and then I understood." When I went to my Engedi, when I went to the sanctuary, then I understood. Why? Because I began to refocus. That when I go to my place called Engedi, I can refocus. And I can refocus on two things. Number one, I can refocus on God. You see, sometimes if I'm dealing with my problems all the time and I just look at my problems, then I forget about my God. And I realize that God, when I refocus on him, is bigger than any problem that I got. I heard somebody say one time, the God who invented giants is big enough to whip them all. And I need to go somewhere. I need to go to my Engedi, and I need to get my focus back on God. I need to say, okay, Lord, you know, I've been out here in this desert. I done seen all these dead bones. I done seen all this sand. I've seen all this devastation out in the desert. God, I need to go back into the sanctuary, and I need to get my eyes back on you. I need to realize that you are all-powerful God. I need to realize that, behold, you are the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for you to do? I need to realize that you are the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Whatever needs I have, Lord, you can provide. I need to realize that you are a God who, that when I'm weak, who has said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I need to realize that there's a God that if I'm down to my last, he said that I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I need to realize that there's a God when I'm wandering in the wilderness. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I need to get my focus. I need to get my focus right. Because if I stay here and I look at my problems and I look at my situation, it's going to continue to pull me down. But when I can get to Engedi, oh God, Engedi is way over there. Engedi is way over there. But if I can just get to Engedi, I'll be all right. Because it's at Engedi where I can refocus on God. But Engedi is a place not only where I can refocus on God, but Engedi is a place where I can refocus on myself. That I need to sit down and I need to say, why am I going through this? I need to ask the question. That's why I say, take your prayer book to Engedi. Because I need to say, okay, Lord, what's going on here? Why am I going through this? And then you need to write down why you're going through it when God tells you. And then, because you know, if you don't write it down, you might be like Pastor Glaze and forget. So I write it down. I forget the next minute. But if I write it down, I got it. And I got that lesson. And I need to ask him. I was struggling the other day. I was just struggling. And I got to Engedi. And I began to ask God some things. And I began to ask God why this was going on. I began to ask God why that was going on. And it was in Engedi. It was in that quiet oasis. Not in the desert. Not out there when I'm working and ministering. But It was in that Engedi, in that quiet place where God began to open up his word and open up my spirit and began to pour things in about me. Not my mother, not my father, but me. Not my sister, not my brother, but me. You see, when I go, what do we want to do? We want to be like we got a bulldog, right? That God is our bulldog. And whatever is after us, we want to say, God, sick him. No. You deal with refocusing on God first, and then you deal with refocusing on self. And then once you do that, then God will guide you from there. He will take care of the rest of it at Engedi. A third thing that we see about Engedi is that Engedi is a place of retreat and refreshment. I was reading one commentator, and he said that David wrote the 63rd Psalm when he was at Engedi. Now, I don't know how true it is, but it makes for good preaching. It makes for some real good preaching. So let me say that, I believe that David was at Engedi when he wrote the 63rd Psalm. As a matter of fact, this says right here, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judea. Well, where is Engedi? Engedi is in the wilderness of Judea. Engedi is an oasis in the wilderness of Judea. So that's my 2 cents on that. Look what David says in Psalm 63 in verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Are you in a place where there's no water today? Are you in a place where, as David said, your moisture has turned into the drought of summer? Is that where you're at today? Then realize that when you can find a way to get to God, and that you can spend some time in his word, you can spend some time before him in prayer, you can put on a song that will encourage your spirit, you can receive some lessons from God. You know what that's like doing? That's like, put that picture of Engedi back up there. Put that picture of Engedi. That's like drinking the invigorating water from the springs of Engedi. Oh, man, how refreshing that is. How refreshing that is. Now, and I don't know if Engedi is anything like Niagara Falls, but at Niagara Falls, they got this thing called what? The Maid of the Mist, right? And you get on that boat, and you don't even have to get right by the falls. You just away, and what do you got? You got the mist that just comes and just settles on you. So if I could get to this place, I've been out here in the desert, I'm parched, I'm dry, I've been wandering out here in the wilderness, if I could just get to the place of refreshment, if I could just get to the place where my heart and my soul can be restored, if I could just get to the place where I can get some water for these parched, dry lips, if I could just get to the place where I can get some water for my thirsty soul, if I could just get there. And that water might be a thought from a devotion. That water might be a song that I can sing. That water might be a verse that I read. If I could just get there, I could be refreshed. And then the final thing we see about Engedi, spiritual lessons from biblical places, is that Engedi is a place of renewal. Amen. Amen. You know what? When you go to Engedi and you leave, you should not be the same. Something should be a little bit different because you've been to Engedi. Look at Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, David is confessing unto the Lord. And as he confesses unto the Lord, God forgives him. And look, now David was in the wilderness. He had committed. Now, if you go back to what's called the superscription, right? Psalm 51. And the superscription is that which comes before the psalm, and it gives us the background. Look what it says here. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet had come unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. David went and had sex with another man's wife, got her pregnant, called her husband back from the battle, tried to get him to go sleep with his wife. He was so dedicated to David that he said, how can I go and sleep with my wife when the men of Israel out here fighting? Wouldn't even go be with his wife. David gave orders for this man to be killed on the front line. And as a result of that, David is disconnected with God. And David begins to wander in his own spiritual wilderness because of sin. And maybe you are in the spiritual wilderness today because of something that you've done wrong, because of some sin in your life. Maybe you've committed adultery with some aspect of society or some material possession. You've taken your heart and given your affection to that thing. You've committed adultery. You've done the wrong thing. And now you find yourself like David, wandering in the wilderness. And then David gets to En-Gedi. But see, don't be like David, because the only reason that David got to En-Gedi at this time was because Nathan the prophet came and confronted him. Don't wait for somebody to come to confront you to leave the wilderness. Don't wait for somebody to come and get in your face and tell you to get out of the wilderness. Get there on your own. And so David goes to his En-Gedi, and he sees God, and he is refreshed, and he is revived, and he is renewed. And look what it says here in verses 10 through 13. David says in verse 10, "Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." And look at his resolve. Look at his renewal. It's not going to be business as usual. It's not going to be the same old. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." What was David saying? Man, I've been renewed in my spirit. I've been renewed in my spirit. And now that I've been renewed, I will teach transgressors your ways, and I will show sinners how to be converted unto thee. En-Gedi. When we leave En-Gedi, we should go back with a new, renewed compassion, a renewed vision, and renewed desire. As I close this morning, on your notes, if you'll look at the last statement that I have here, the last statement, and that is, we should be coming to En-Gedi, or we should be coming En-Gedi. Let me run that by again. We should be coming to En-Gedi, either for ourselves, or we should be coming En-Gedi to somebody else. My. Which one are you? Whatever you need, whatever you have need of, whatever you have need of today, if you need to come to En-Gedi, then you need to come to En-Gedi. If you're all right and you don't need to go to En-Gedi, then you should be coming En-Gedi to somebody else. Where you at today?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Take In and Give Out or Dry Up. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, En-Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request En-Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request En-Gedi. En Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Galais and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.